Thank you, Councilman Mito. You?
Yeah, all I'm set? All set.
Okay. Councilman Gephardt?
Thank you. Give me one sec. Oh, here's my question. Given that, in your opinion, we've been somewhat afoul of state law and the Supreme Court decision, is there any risk that follows us around based on past actions that we've taken as a city?
The only possible risk I see, and it may very well be that statute of limitations are already gone by, would be anything, and I don't think, and I'm sure we didn't, because we sent a memo out. As soon as the U.S. Supreme Court decision came down, we sent out a memo, and I know the administration's aware of it, not to go to tax sale or assign tax titles for any piece of property above and beyond what the taxes and the interest and the penalty and the fees were. So although I cannot tell you with 100% guarantee, I feel very strongly that we are not at risk.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
Other members of the full council?
I can come to the 20th.
Any members of the public wish to be heard on this? Just please introduce yourself and try to do your best to speak into the mic.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm George Schuster. I live on Riverview Avenue in Riverview. Frankly, this is a bit of a bizarre conversation. The administration has proposed to rewrite an entire ordinance that takes away notices to adjacent landowners when tax titles are to be transferred, that takes away notice to the city council person in the ward when the tax title is to be sold, that takes away notices to other parts of the city, including the land trust, when tax titles are to be sold, and that takes away the power of the city council to approve sales of tax title. None of those things are prohibited by state or federal law. And the answer that the administration has given is that they will come up with a fair process for transferring tax titles. Well, we have an ordinance right now that has a pretty good process. You notify the landowners who are adjacent, you notify the city councilman from the ward, you notify the land trust, and you bring it before the city council. So I appreciate the need to make the adjustment for the purchase price of the tax title, but we have a pretty robust statute that covers all the rest, and I kind of like that better than just trust the administration to do it right. To Councilman Latticer's point, I don't have any concern about anyone in this room, about the current administration, but we have 1,100 lots that the city has tax title to. I've had conversations with other mayors of the city going back 30 years about some of those tax title lots and what we should be doing with them. We have dozens of lots that are in tax title between Palmer Avenue and Warwick Neck Avenue in Ward 5. They are literally underwater. They should not be developed. They should not, those tax titles should not be sold so that we then put development of those properties at risk. To the administration's point, we have citizens of this city who are using tax title lots as their backyards, as their side yards. And this ordinance would allow the mayor to sell tax titles to those lots and have the new owner of that lot come by and tell the adjacent owner whose swimming pool is on the lot, sorry, I own it now, without that adjacent property owner ever having noticed that the tax title was sold. That just seems like a recipe for a lot of bad feelings in the city and a process that we already have that solves that problem. Why are we throwing it out? So my recommendation would be that you hold the ordinance at this point, have it redrafted to address some of these concerns, basically put back all the stuff that is redlined that doesn't need to be, fix the thing that needs to be fixed, and then come back with a better process. And I'll end with, because I've been talking about this for a very long time, I 100% agree that we should deal with these 1,100 lots, that we should sell off some of these tax titles where we need to. But it's a fair amount of work that the administration has to come through first. I think they should report back to the city council with a list of the 1,100 lots sorted by, hey, here are the ones that we think should be sold, the tax title should be sold because they're potentially developable lots and let's move those ahead. Here's the ones that we don't think the tax title should be sold. And here are the ones that we should move forward on actually foreclosing the tax title ourselves so that we can preserve those lots and not have them built, even where there are the pressures to build and even where we need to build where it's appropriate to build in this city. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schuster.
Michelle Comar, I couldn't have said it any better, and I appreciate all the other council comments. The only thing I can say is I know the land trust is going to put their swamp boots on, and they're going to go look at these properties. I don't think the treasurer is going to do the same job. So I want the participation of all the boards and commissions that can bring firsthand recommendations back to the treasurer, the mayor, the city council. I don't have a problem with the process right now. It is transparent. The process that's proposed is not transparent. And I think we need more eyes on it, more opinions, more heads clunking together to make decisions what to do about these properties. It takes research. And I'm glad it's just down to 1,100. That's a manageable number. But I'm worried about the notice. I'm worried about assigning, the word was used, assign a buyer. Well, we already just heard that these are not always desirable properties. So now you're going to assign a buyer, and they're going to have to do all the research to close the right of redemption. There was a time, and I've been in this city for a while, so I can squawk about it, but the land trust had a budget just so that they could close the right of redemption. It takes an attorney. Takes a surveyor sometimes to do that. And it was a couple thousand dollars per lot in the good old days. Maybe that money is no longer available for the city to take it, and it's more expensive. But that shouldn't let us just forego our lot of good planning and intent to preserve open space and land that's worth preserving. And not mess with people's lives if they're already using these small, minuscule lots. Yeah, they should be put on notice that maybe they, you know, they're enjoying something, they should pay for it. But to go out and find another buyer and assign, I'm totally opposed to this ordinance. I don't see, and I have a request, please, that the memos be posted so that everybody can read them on the email distribution list. So there's two memos out there that might be helpful, because this was very hard to understand until I spoke to some people. And so I'm hoping that you take the time to review it again, ask your questions, get the memos circulated throughout the public so we can meet again and talk about this. Thank you.
Chairman, if I may. Oh, I says. Ms. Austin wants to speak.
Thank you, Ms. Comar. Ms. Austin?
Yes, Jane Austin, 26 Narragansett Bay Avenue, also chair of the Warwick Land Trust. I have concerns and would hope that the, in light of the things that have already been mentioned here, that the council would hold and not take any action on this until there's an opportunity to really answer the questions. Some of the specifics about what in particular needs to be changed to bring us into alignment with federal and state laws, because it's not immediately obvious. A general point I guess I would make, we've heard the number 1,100 tax title properties throughout the city. They range in size, in value, their impact on the character of the neighborhood. Right now, the redemption value tied to these can be pretty arbitrary based on the time frame in which the city has held it. It can be a confusing process, but by and large, the value of these properties at this point doesn't really take into consideration their natural resource value, the hazard mitigation value potentially. Are they currently a neighborhood amenity? Is there development potential? If this is developed, is that going to create new obligations on the city or infrastructure requirements? So it would seem that before any broad change in terms of the city's approach to managing or disposing of tax title properties would start with at least a basic inventory and analysis of the values of these properties, not simply in terms of their kind of current tax title, accumulated tax interest and penalties and things, but in terms of some of the other benefits that they are either currently conveying or providing. And that is something in theory on an individual basis that the land trust or the city could do, but it has not been done in a systematic way for a long time. And there's been some discussion at the planning board at its last few meetings in the context of updating the comprehensive plan about the need to do some kind of analysis of these properties, because by and large, this city is fully developed. So we have kind of a de facto open space that has been kind of enjoyed for quite some time. And before it's kind of disposed of, I think we would need to take a real look at what the unintended consequences. I think in some ways, I'm less worried about the property that has an abutter on it, because that's not the property that's going to be appealing to the people who come and approach the city about properties. It's going to be because they're appealing for other reasons. And I think this ordinance as written leaves all the initiative in whoever comes in the door to talk to the city about making a purchase. And the first person through the door at this point has a, basically with minimal notice, maybe 10 days notice, I believe, to the owner, is able to kind of move through a very essentially kind of private process. So I think this is something that begs for a big picture look, at least a basic analysis of where these properties are, what their potential value is, and then thinking about if there's a systematic way that the city wants to deal with different categories of these properties, we do it. But nothing in this current revamp takes much of a strategic approach or leaves much initiative in the hands of the city in terms of what the outcome is going to be with regard to those properties. Thank you.
Chairman, if I may.
Of course.
So for what it's worth, it does look like most of the process that people would prefer stay in is in the crossed out subsection F until you get it roughly about a little over halfway, and then you start getting into the problematic language. But regardless of that, I wanted to kick it to the city with your permission, because my understanding is they want to chime in on something that it's important for tonight.
We came here to solve a legal problem and a practical problem. These 1,100 parcels have been sitting there, and we thought here would be a way to really start moving this. I think a lot of good points have been made this evening. I think it probably makes sense to continue or defer this, if you could, to October 20th, because I can be back here at that meeting, take into consideration all the comments that have been made, go back through it. Again, we're trying to simplify this process to solve a problem that has been piling up literally for decades. And maybe it makes sense, for instance, to turn that spreadsheet of 1,100 over to the land trust so that they can take a look at it, et cetera. So no objection if you'd like to defer this to our first passage, October 20th, and we'll do some revisions.
Thank you, Mr. Russell. I think that suggestion is well taken, and Ms. Austin's done an excellent job of repopulating the land trust. So I think she probably has the resources behind her now to evaluate a list of that size and take some time to dig in and possibly make a recommendation.
Just before a motion, if I may, if the city council could be included on any dissemination of that list of 1,100.
Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely. There's no reason why we can't make it available to every member of the city council also.
Okay.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. And thank you to Councilman Gebhardt for bringing up that point. Thank you to the solicitor for accommodating us on this. A little bit of a separate point here, and I'm not pointing the finger at anyone in this administration, because it's been a continuing problem. This is my ninth year on the city council, the first time that I realized that the city council member for the ward is to be notified is pretty recently when reading this draft amendment section of section 2-14. 9 years on the city council, I don't think I've ever received notice from the city of these tax title sales. And similarly, there's references to the Committee on Public Properties. This is my 7th year chairing the Committee on Public Properties, and we have not had these coming before that committee. But I know for a fact, I have received notice in a certain manner for the sale of tax titles, because every single time I see the publication in the Warwick Beacon, that's how I first see these things. I make sure to look down the list, and just as a matter of a constituent service, I take a look down the list. I literally have the contact information for thousands of constituents. So then I make a whole bunch of phone calls and emails, however I have their contact info, and say, hey, no judgment here. Just as your city councilor, I want to give you a heads up that, hey, no judgment, but this whole being behind on taxes thing is about to get a lot more serious. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Chairman, if I may, given that we're going to hold this, so now council people have over a month to send any questions or thoughts they might have, it may be best just to proceed with that because we still have a long night ahead of us.
Move to hold till October 20th.
Councilman Lattiser, did you have one more thing to add?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make a retraction on a statement earlier, and it's based mainly on Councilman Muto's comments as well as the members of the public. If you had chosen to go forward with this tonight, I would be voting no. I would absolutely support holding this till the October meeting. Just want to be on the record with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Lattiser. Councilman Gebhardt, I heard a motion to hold.
Do I have October a second? 20th, yeah.
Second. Councilman, motion to hold and a second. Any objections to hold this till October 20th? So held. Thank you, Ms.
Okay. Thank you.
Aye. For the recommendation.
All aye. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Time is now 9:49 and ordinance is in recess.
All right, so we can, our last ping pong, if we can go back to Finance Committee, please, and then we'll go back to the normal order from there.
It's a long one. For this one?
This one. Oh, and then this week, this is fun. I bet this is 4 o'clock.
Which is fine, but it, like, we can't be expected to hold.
And I agree with that.
Picked ones up, right? Yeah,
we picked them up.
Chris, the public hearing is done. We pulled out the individual ones, yeah. And
I stretch my legs.
Let's go to. Okay, Finance Committee is reconvened. It is now 9:53. Yes. And, okay, I believe the first item that was pulled out was Councilman Napper, item number 12-2026-090. We're on page 66, and I apologize to all the department heads that have remained here during this entire process.
No place we'd rather be, Councilman.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
No place I'd rather be, Councilman.
Perfectly said. Perfectly said.
Alan Gobert, Assistant Chief in the Fire Department.
Hi, Chief. Thank you. If you could just, reading through this, it seems as though this is sort of an optional service that the Fire Department is taking on, like an optional preventative maintenance. Is that my understanding? Is that correct?
So the pump testing is not optional. It's required by NFPA as well as the collective bargaining agreement. The preventative maintenance part is definitely optional. It's not required. But over the past few years, we've aggressively put into effect preventative maintenance projects on a lot of our infrastructure. Pumps, aerials, garage doors, and we've seen a significant decrease in repair costs. Just like anything else around your home, if you have preventative maintenance, a little bit of money now saves a lot of money. So with the pump maintenance, we came and asked for almost $900,000 to buy a fire truck tonight. The most important part of that fire truck is the pump in the truck. So if we can maintain it properly over the course of its 15-year career, we'll be able to get 20 years of life out of that truck. So it's very important.
If that pump were to fail, what would be the replacement cost to keep that truck on the road?
Excuse me?
What would be the replacement cost of the pump?
To replace a pump in the neighborhood of $60,000 to replace a fire pump, and we would lose use of that truck for close to a year.
Okay. And how successful do you feel that your preventative maintenance program has been to keep your vehicles operating and your equipment operating? Is that something you can sort of quantify to think?
I can. So in 2023, we started the pump maintenance. We've seen a 26% decrease since 2023 in what we've outlaid for repairs to the pumps. So the first year was a 20% decline. The second year was a 6% decline. Obviously, we're in this year now, so I can't tell you. But we've seen, since we've started the pump maintenance program, 26% decrease in the outlay for repairs on our pumps.
That's fantastic. And is that something that you developed internally? Did you take, you know, your lead from outside departments?
We see these, we talk to other fire departments, but we did the chief and the rest of the administration. We've started, looking at a lot of our repair costs were getting higher. So the best way to head that off is maintenance. Same thing with the garage doors. We have 49 garage doors in the fire department. We started a maintenance program on those, and we've seen our repair costs go down on those. So,
like a citywide memorandum to other departments about preventative maintenance programs might be warranted at this point.
Preventative maintenance. Yeah, it really does go a long way.
That was all just a tip of the cap to you guys. I appreciate the hard work on that. You're saving the city money. You're doing your due diligence. And, you know, when you come to us to ask for us to spend for you, we see that you're putting out for us for getting grants and doing maintaining the equipment that you do have. And we appreciate that.
And these trucks are no small cost. So it's incumbent upon us to make sure we get the most out of them.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Chief, in our discussion last week, you had also indicated how significant this preventive maintenance is that you're doing. In addition to perhaps tens of thousands of dollars that you're saving the taxpayers, what would you project is the additional life that you're giving to not just the entire vehicle, but things such as tires, as an example? By checking tire pressure, you can prolong the life of the tires, right? How much additional time would you guess this program that you're implementing is providing?
It's hard to quantify, but I would say in a fire truck, in a pumper, we could add years to the life of that pump if we properly maintain it. With the ladders that we do maintenance on, the aerial trucks, the big ladder trucks, years to those ladders if we properly maintain them. And thousands of dollars over a 20-year lifetime of a truck that are not being outlaid for maintenance and repairs, for repairs. Excuse me.
If I remember correctly, I think years ago, I don't remember how many years ago, but I believe the city council approved that, what am I going to call it, sprinkler system thing that goes under the trucks for washing it. Are we using that?
I think that's in the DPW yard now at some point. We're not using it in the fire department, but we do use their wash rack there quite a bit as well. Yeah. So
might be something to look into.
Absolutely.
You know, given the condition of the chassis that we had spoken about before, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where the salt eats it away. And I don't think it was a long dollar for that equipment.
It wasn't.
No. Okay, thank you. The next item was mine. I will pass on that. That was item 2026-042. The next item is 2026-131, repairs to H116. And that is found on page 90. Is someone going to come up on item 2026-131, repairs to H116? Hi, Christy.
Hello.
Again, sorry that everyone had to stay so long. So in the last two sentences, the first paragraph says the transmission case shattered and requires a comprehensive evaluation to determine what led to the failure, as well as any structural damage to the machine. When will you know that?
Are you on the estimate? Is that what you're looking at?
In terms of time, I mean, how long is it before you know what the extent of the damage is to this vehicle?
Not until they take the machine apart.
Until they take it all apart?
Yes.
And this also says, of course, it's only an estimate. Has anyone from this repair company, have they been down to DPW to look at this piece of equipment yet?
They have not. They, our automotive chief has had a conversation with Milton Catt, explained the issues, and obviously our automotive chief has an understanding of what's wrong with this machine anyway. So based on their discussions, they provided us an estimate. Obviously the automotive chief can't see certain things, sure. But he can't. So basically what they have to do is split this machine apart to fix the issue. I can see Councilman Muto's like, that's interesting. It is interesting. So the machine has to go to their facility in Massachusetts, because for them to come to us, it would cost us probably double with travel time and mileage. So if we send it up there, they can diagnose everything. They have all the parts at their disposal. Obviously, you know, I'm actually expecting it to cost us more than the estimate, only because there is no, you know, it's kind of like a car accident. You don't know until you take the vehicle apart.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Right. And okay. We'll be back to council if that's ends up what happens. But we'll get an estimate for that prior to them making repairs.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Christy, my thought was not that. It was thinking, what's the maintenance schedule? How are you maintaining it? Sorry.
It's past my bedtime over here, guys. Come on.
Item number 19, 2026-116, Councilman Foley. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Wrong bill. It was. That's true. Okay, so Christy, you need to make an amendment on the Zamboni.
Yes, I do. Is that up next? Mm-hmm. Phil's trying to kick me away from the podium, so I just. Oh, goodness. I do need to amend, as soon as I can find it.
I believe it was the amount, right?
It is the amount, and I also need to add a budget code. When I was preparing this item for the docket, I was not necessarily forward-thinking, and I need to add budget code 44.
Mm. Christy, so what I have is you have it for code number 41-281 and 41-331.
That's correct, but I also need to add code 44.
Oh, okay.
331.
Okay.
Simply because that is assigned to the new skating rink. So it's a two-year bid. Initially, we had asked for $18,000. We're going to add another six to that to accommodate the new facility with the Zamboni that is there, or will be there, I should say. So the total cap will be $24,000 for a two-year period.
And what was the additional budget code
44. It's budget code 44.
44331, but what was that $6,000 for?
For budget code 44331. So it's the Zamboni maintenance and repair contract. I have two budget codes that are assigned to Thayer and Warburton right now. That's been longstanding. We have a new budget code for the Appanag Ice Rink Plaza, which is budget code 44, falls under Public Works. So we're increasing this bid, this request, by $6,000 for a cap of $24,000 and adding budget code 44331.
So the $6,000 for a Zamboni for the new ice rink?
Yes, for a two-year period. This is a two-year contract.
Right. For maintenance?
Yes.
Do you have a Zamboni for the new ice rink?
It's the one that we sent up to be refurbished that went through council several months ago. Yes.
And is that back yet?
It is not.
Okay. So you sent this other Zamboni out to be refurbished a month ago.
Several months ago, actually.
Whenever. But you would expect that it's coming back to be in tip-top condition, right? So I guess my question is, why do you need another $6,000 for that one?
So this Zamboni, while it is out being refurbished, is still an old machine. It's in 2006. So, I mean, we have had problems with our newest machine, and it's 22. So I don't expect that it's going to run, you know, perfectly for 2 years.
Okay, Madam Clerk, could I have a PCR on this, please? So 2026-118 is going to become 90-25. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? There is no members of the public here. We are needing a motion on the amendment.
I make a motion to amend as noted by our speaker.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion, we have a second, and the amendment is to increase the spending authority by $6,000 to the amount of $24,000. The $6,000 will be charged off to budget code 44331, correct?
Correct. 44, okay. Yes.
Okay, now I need a motion for favorable action on PCR 90-25.
We have to vote on the amendment.
That's what we just did.
No.
Okay, got it. We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any
move
opposed?
Favorable action on PCR
90-25 as amended.
Second.
Second by Napa.
We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
You asked for this one,
Muto.
Hello.
Go ahead, Councilman.
Bill Carlucci, IT Director.
2026-116.
Yes. I'm going to try to make it brief. So my question to you is, I'm actually very familiar with the software, and going to an additional year for the annual maintenance, which departments
are actually using this software?
As listed there, it's Public Works, Warwick Sewer Authority, and the Information Technology Department.
Do you know what software is used by the rest of the city for timekeeping, time and attendance?
The fire department uses police department uses IMC, and the fire department uses, it's changed names so many times they were required. I can't think of the name off the top of my head. They do it because they have different requirements. They're not really timekeeping systems as much as off-shift scheduling and things along that line. I'll just turn around and see if the fire department is still here. They aren't.
So I'm glad you brought that up, and I wish they were still here, because this software, as you're aware, they just got purchased, changed the name. They have an off-shift component to it, as well as some other biometrics. And it's very curious that we have so many different time and attendance systems throughout the city, that this would be a great opportunity for some type
of... Really, just to make this clear, this is a time clock system. This is not a time and attendance system, although I gather you could carve it in. This would be replaced by ExecuTime, which is owned by Tyler. It's part of their Munis package. However, we looked at that package when it was originally acquired. It was not very user-friendly. Let's say it was complex. Yep. It had an acquisition cost of $120,000 and then an annual maintenance fee of about $10,000 to $15,000.
That's the Munis. That's
the Munis piece.
Yep.
So what this really replaced were punch cards and time clocks. If we were to look at something, it would probably, replacing this would probably be something that would be cloud-based with Tyler. I kind of put a moratorium on buying our on-premise modules, because in the very near future, Tyler's going to force us to go to the cloud, which time we lose all of our investment. So it makes, unless it was an emergency, it makes very little sense to do it. As far as the fire and police department, I agree. We should get together, sing kumbaya. I would say that we had a package that the fire and police were using. The police used it for 1 year, decided it was not adequate for them, and moved on.
Okay. Let's see. Now, this punch card, is this the old-fashioned punch cards, or is it biometric?
Old-fashioned punch cards.
Wow.
When those clocks broke and you couldn't replace them, we got the badge system.
Oh, so we're using the badge with RFID?
It's a proximity card reader.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's actually all the questions I have today, but
okay.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you, Councilman. Council President, did you have anything you wanted to say on item number 2026-154, two solar speed signs? Okay. I believe the next item is number 2026-126. Councilman Foley, did you have anything on that? Purchase and install one set of pedestrian crosswalks.
Just very quickly, that's the crosswalk right outside of O'Rourke's. And I was there recently with my lovely wife, and I noticed the signs, and I'm saying, why don't they have the flashers so that, especially there, because there's parking on both sides, and you're stepping out in between cars. So I, using the $10,000 fund for each ward, I requested this.
Thank you. And you had also requested, I believe, item 2026-111, office tracker. Okay. I keep getting the two bills confused, in case you haven't noticed.
No problem.
Councilman Muto, sorry about that.
Bill Perlucci, IT director.
Hi, Phil. So really same line of thinking here. First, the office tracker calendaring system, this is used in which department?
For the most part, it's used in the police department, and the remaining department is just police department and parks and recreations.
Sorry, it's late. Okay. The so on the calendaring system, the calendaring system.
I'm sorry.
On the calendaring system, this system. When we move to Office 365, will this still be a necessity? This product?
I would, speaking for myself, I would hope not.
So it'll be a cost savings. Okay. Thank you.
Very good.
Okay. Thank you. I believe that does it, unless anyone has something else. Let the record indicate it's 10:12 p.m.
No.
Go ahead. Sorry. Yes. Let's vote on this.
Please.
Okay. Need a motion.
Motion for favorable action.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. Councilman Muto has seconded it. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. And it is now 10:13.
And last up this evening is the return of the Intergovernmental Committee.
Oh, shit, I'm on that one.
No, you got intergovernmental.
Oh. Last year, I had a problem with the Board of Canvassers.
Oh, that's right.
That's still on there? I thought we killed that.
Yes. Yeah, it did seem like a fleeting idea, yet it made it to the top.
Can we just...
Good evening. The time is now 10:15. Intergovernmental comes back to order. We are now on PCR 67-25, resolution requesting the General Assembly to amend RAGL 1785 to include City of Warwick in the list of municipal councils authorized to approve the employment and compensation of local canvassing authorities. Councilman Lattiser with several co-sponsors. Councilman, do you want to refresh this? I know this came up during the budget.
Sure.
And then shortly thereafter.
I'm going to make this quick, Mr. Chairman. I want to hold this till the first meeting in January 2026.
Any members of the committee have any issues?
Second meeting, okay. Second meeting in January, to be determined. Say what?
Hearing the sponsor, Madam Clerk, did you have any concerns? Okay, hopefully you'll be on a beach in Tahiti by then. Okay, so at the request of the sponsor, they've requested to hold until the second meeting of January in 2026. Any objections amongst members of the council? Do I have a motion to hold till second meeting of January 2026?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Intergovernmental is now adjourned at 10:17.
So back to the full council, belatedly. First things first, appointments requiring confirmation. We have the Historical Cemeteries Commission. This goes to Intergovernmental for the report. Intergovernmental has escaped and he's back. We need your report for your appointments. First, Valerie Casey for the Historical Cemeteries Commission.
Committee recommends favorable action.
Favorable action recommended. For action, Board 5.
Move favorable action.
Second. Second by Councilman Gebhardt. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor. Clerk will call the roll. Clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Next, we have confirmation of Land Trust Commission reappointment, Elizabeth Colt.
Says, committee unanimously and strenuously recommends favorable action.
For action, would anyone mind moving? Actually, Councilman Napa or Councilman Ricks, you both probably encountered Professor Colt. Anyone want to move it?
Move favorable action.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Next, we have the reappointment of Daniel Fagan, Intergovernmental.
With great zeal and joy, the committee recommends favorable action.
And for action, anyone able to move this for me?
Motion to move favorable action.
Motion, second. Councilman Napa, seconded by Councilman Muto. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk call the roll. Yes.
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 Next, onto the consent calendar. We have PCR 88-25, resolution relative to bids. Councilman Lattiser.
Committee recommends favorable action on PCR 88-25.
There were at least, there's at least one removed. So for action, we have a motion.
Make a motion, favorable action.
Motion by Councilman Lattiser, seconded by Councilman Muto. Now we have to do the rundown, right? Oh, because we changed it. Ah, finally. That's fantastic. So because we changed the rules, we don't have to go through every single thing anymore. Now we could just do the item removed. So Councilman Lattiser, the one bid that was removed.
Oh, but I was looking forward to going through every one of them, assuming there's no objection. Okay, all right, whatever. We have one removed, and it is PCR 90-25.
And that's, my understanding is that one needs an amendment?
There was an amendment requested by DPW to change the monetary amount from 18,000 to 24,000 and increase or add on another budget code for that 6,000, and the code is 44331.
So with the new process, are we gonna do the one-off first, or we do the consent calendar?
So the consent calendar stands with all items as originally presented, with the exception of bid 2026-118, which has become PCR 90-25 and will be voted separately after the consent calendar. We do also have abatements on the consent today.
Yeah. All right, so next up then, PCR 89-25, resolution relative to abatements. Councilman Lattiser.
Committee recommends favorable action on PCR 89-25.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Favorable action.
Second. Seconded by Councilman Muto. And none were pulled off there.
Nope.
So any questions or comments on the consent calendar?
None.
Seeing none, clerk will call the roll, please. Yes.
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 All right, so that's the consent calendar, and now we have the one that was removed, bid 2026-118, now PCR 90-25. Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on the amendment.
All right, and the amendment is to add budget code 44-331.
44-331 in the amount of $6,000, which will increase the total award to $24,000.
All right, do we have a second? Seconded by Councilman Muto. Any questions or comments on the proposed amendment? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Stanley?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Move favorable action on PCR 90-25 as amended.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Muto, Councilman Gebhardt. Any questions on PCR 90-25 as amended? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll. Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, on to unfinished business. Make sure I'm not skipping anything. PCO 6-25, an ordinance to prohibit through trucking on Orchard Avenue. This is held to October 20th, unless there's any objection. Seeing none, so held. Next is PCR 67-25, a resolution requesting the General Assembly to amend RIGL 17-8-5 to include the City of Warwick in the list of municipal councils authorized to approve the appointment, employment, and compensation of local canvassing authorities. This is Councilman Lattiser. The recommendation was to hold till the second meeting in January. So be it, unless there are any objections. Noting none, so held. New business, PCO 13-25, an ordinance amending the procedures relative to transfer of tax title to property. This is on behalf of the mayor. This is held until October 20th, unless there's any objections. Seeing none, so held. Next, we have referral on advertising, PCO 16-25, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick, Three Kids LLC, petitioner assessors plat 333, lot 103, 1112 West Shore Road. That'll be Councilman Napa's ward. And that appears to conclude the normal docket. Does anyone have anything for unanimous consent? Seeing none. Does anyone wish to move us to the docket session? Councilman Riggs?
So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Docket session time now. Can I get a vote? You have to be in favor. All in favor of adjourning or going to the docket session, rather?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Any abstentions? Seeing none, to the docket session we go. Ward 1. Pass. Ward 2.
I have at least 18. Excuse me. For the August 18 session, I have one. A resolution recognizing September 15 through October 15 as National Hispanic Heritage Month. That's all.
I was just waiting for Councilman DeLuise to jump out of his chair and leave.
Which one's that going on? Community Affairs, Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4. Ward 5.
I have one. It's an ordinance, and the title is The Manner in Which Information is Delivered to Members of the City Council.
Intergovernmental? More ordinance.
Okay.
My ordinance. All right.
Say what? I said the manner in which information is delivered to members of the City Council.
Ward 6. Ward 7.
I understand. By the city clerk, is that what you're asking me?
So, time out. The title is title is just whatever you said it was. So.
We'll straighten it out. It's not in the delivery from the clerk. We'll straighten it out.
So, Ward 7, I apologize.
Pass.
Ward 9, that's a pass signal. I have an unpleasant amount. 2025-2026 Council Calendar Resolution. Administrative Matters Ordinance. Council Rules Amendment Resolution. Noise Ordinance Update. Sure. What's this? On behalf of the mayor, resolution of Rhode Island General Assembly requesting to expand the jurisdiction of the Warwick Municipal Court. On behalf of the mayor, amendment of Chapter 6, Article 6, and Chapter 64, Section 5 of the Code of Ordinances.
Ordinance.
And on behalf of the mayor, with Councilman Napa as a co-sponsor. Resolution authorizing Mayor Bocozzi to enter into a lease agreement for the land which Warwick Fire Station 8 is located on.
Public properties.
All right, now we're done for real. Council adjourns at 10:27 p.m.